Well, clearly, people are getting really bored while we're all living La Vida lockdown, because somehow, after three episodes, I've only got to manage to bag a real-life Formula One driver to join me on the show. And this one has even finished on a podium in half of the last two races. It's an amazing start, I know. It's none other than AlphaTauri, or still Toro Rosso to most people, driver Pierre Gasly. So, Pierre, welcome to the podcast that is not a podcast podcast, which is a strange name, I know. You have no idea what you're letting yourself in for right now, do you?
No, not really. Not really. But I'm quite excited to see what you have prepared for me.
Well, basically, this all came about where we had lots of questions on Twitter for some of us journalists about what was happening in F1. So I got one of my friends to join me, and we had a drink and talked about them and put it on audio, and people liked it. So we're doing more of that, and it's generally what fans want to know. Firstly, I've got a drink again, because that's just how relaxed I'm being with these. Have you got a drink, or are you being good?
I'm behaving, so I'll go with my drink bottle. But what have you got?
I've got a bottle of Peroni.
Okay, so mine is a bit healthier, but
yeah, you've got what? Is it water in a Red Bull bottle?
Yeah, basically, yeah, basically. I just finished my training session, so I think I'd rather go with water rather than a beer right now. But
probably sensible. I did a half marathon yesterday, so I earned that beer. But it won't be the last one today either. Now, so you're training in Dubai. You're in lockdown there.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm currently in Dubai since quite many weeks now. So after Melbourne, we had planned with my trainer and my manager to come in Dubai before Bahrain, and we flew here on the Monday after the weekend. Then we decided to stay. It was a plan to stay until Wednesday. Bahrain was cancelled, and we thought, okay, we'll take a few days just to assess the situation in Europe. And I could not go back to my home in Italy because they closed all the airports. And then after, basically, I looked at going back to France to my family place, but they are like over 60. And with all the informations and everything, I didn't feel like taking the risk of going back there. And I must say, like, Dubai is probably one of the best places right now if you need to be stuck somewhere. I have a gym. I managed to get a really nice place with a gym, and much I can train like it was a very good facility compared to what I have at home. So in the end, it's a pretty good setup here.
Yeah, and you said before we did this that it's a busy day for a lockdown day. So you've been training already. What else have you got to do on a day that you're stuck in lockdown?
So actually, today quite many like media requests for some reason. So yeah, I guess of course we, you know, people want information. So many people stuck at home and not much to do. I think most of the people have watched all movies from like the 80s already and 90s and early 2000s and all the new series on Netflix. And we all try to stay entertained. So a lot of requests for some reason this week, and a couple of interviews today.
It's obviously difficult for everyone right now. No one gets to see each other face to face, really, and things like that. But I put on Reddit again, get some questions sent in from fans, see what you're up to. And a lot of them want to know that you're just okay, because, you know, drivers are just like anyone else. Like, you're stuck in one place, it can get pretty boring, you're not around family or friends. So how are you mentally doing?
Yeah, I'm physically really good. I've been, I must say, really quiet on social media in the last weeks since the lockdown. And I think it was, in a way, like just trying to figure out how to make the best out of all this free time we have now, and a bit refocus on ourselves, on myself as an athlete. I'm with my trainer right now, and I think it's the last couple of weeks have been really good in terms of training. I've never been as fit as I am right now, so I never had that many days with consistent training. We went really strict with the diet and just trying to take myself a step up in terms of physical conditions, and it's really working out. And just a bit reflects also on last year and the last couple of years, what has been good, what has been bad, the reasons, trying to like set a really like good and strong plans for the months coming, and how I want to put myself during this 2020 season. Hopefully that will start pretty soon. But yeah, I just wanted to take this time, and also for the people that supported me and also surrounded me, my family, my close friends, people I didn't give much attention over the last few months and few years, and just give them a bit more of my time. So been really quiet, but physically I'm in my best shape ever. We're still working out to be even in a stronger shape when the season starts. And then, I must say I'm pretty lucky. All my family and my close friends, no one has been affected by the virus. I've known a couple of people I've met that unfortunately got infected, but I think we all more or less know people in our entourage, close or a bit wider entourage, that got touched by this virus. But overall, I would say I'm pretty lucky. Everybody close around me feels good. So hopefully it can stay like this over the next few months.
Yeah, that's good to hear. One of the questions we got in is, you'll probably find this funny, as I try and do usernames from Reddit because they're really difficult. The first one's called The Wawa24, who asks, who out of the F1 driver pool do you consider your friends, and are you in touch with them at the moment?
Charles is for sure the one I'm the closest with, just because we grew up together, since we were 9 years old, raced together, we were teammates together in Saudi cars, basically seeing each other on every weekends, and spent holidays together. So it's really someone I like as a friend and as a person, human being. So I'm still in touch with him, and we play video games quite a lot together, and with Fabio as well, Quartararo, the MotoGP rider. So that's what we do, just to still keep a sort of competition between us, because we need it and we're always seeking it. And then in the paddock, I will say Max. Max is a good friend. Same, I know him since 2009, 2010, so quite many years. I get on Moles very well with all the drivers on the grid, but of course you have different generations. I didn't grow with all of them, so I get on well with Daniel, but for example we are not really like in touch. Maybe we send a text once every 2-3 months just to catch up, or if we have something to say to each other. But otherwise, I would say Charles and Max are the closest, and Antonio as well, Giovinazzi obviously, because I was teammate with him. So we have like a good relationship and good memories together. We have good fun together.
Yeah, and I guess the upside of this is you get to escape media most of the time. I'm annoying you right now, but you also get freedom from Josh, the digital content creator at AlphaTauri. He's the other side of the world at the moment. So is he leaving you alone?
I think he's currently in Australia, so it's also like good time for him to. He's quite far away from all of us, so I guess when we're awake, he's sleeping, and then when he's awake, we are sleeping. So he's been quiet for a bit, but still, it's quite surprising. Still, a lot of requests from the team, because obviously, we still need to keep the people and the fans and spectators entertained in some ways. And I would say the only downside from Dubai, I stayed here mainly for physical training and also because I think it's a bit safer right now compared to Europe, and also for my family. But I think the only downside is that I don't have my simulator. So I have one in Italy, I have one in France, but I don't have one here. Which is something that I miss quite a bit. But now I'm planning to go back to Europe in the next 2 weeks. So hopefully I can have some more fun with that.
Are you going to be ready to jump straight into one of the events, or do you want a bit of practice?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I think it's usually I always play a bit on F1 or Assetto Corsa. I didn't play so much iRacing, but clearly with all the time we have now, I think something I enjoy to do. So I'll do more, and then probably take part in some of the races.
Yeah, well, I mentioned Josh just now because he's one of my mates, and he's the sort of person that I'm like chatting to or catching up with while you're dealing with Formula One race winners and MotoGP pole sitters and things like that. But one of the things I was going to say for people listening that won't know, you and I work together sometimes because I do work with Honda and I come pestering you for editorial stuff and videos that we do. And we can have a bit of a laugh sometimes, but I'll be honest, I know it's not everything that you have to do with the media is fun. What is the most fun thing you've got to do because you're an F1 driver?
What is the most fun stuff? I must say, you know, being with Red Bull, cheers. Being with Red Bull, it's a lot of fun. So they are involved in so many different sports, so many different activities. I must say they made me discover like amazing and activities that gave me so much adrenaline and excitement. So I did skydiving with them, which is something I would have probably struggled to do on my own. And they just like when we went in Salzburg, they had some professional, and I said, okay, now it's my time to try it. You know, even if it's quite a big thing, but I said, okay, it's all managed by Red Bull, and I'll do it. And it was one of my best experiences in my life. And then after that, I did it on my own in Dubai. No, I didn't fly. I didn't jump on my own. I was with another guy behind me, but then without Red Bull. But just one of the best activity Red Bull made me discover. I did this flying thing, which a pretty funny video came out afterwards of me like really being shocked in the plane with the flying bulls. So this was pretty insane as well. So you get all these quite funny marketing events thanks to them. I think generally, you know, like being an F1 driver, I just love every moment. Of course you have all the media part sometime, and then it really depends. Some of the interviews are really funny. It really depends what you get asked. But generally being an F1 driver, I don't really see any downside. Of course you need to put your personal life a bit aside. So can't see your family, can't see your friends. It's really, you know, like sport driven. You need to live for F1 each single day of your year. Also in your lifestyle, in your like diet, in your training. Of course, I'm 24 years old. It's quite different life to my friends right now who are 24. But if I see myself, I feel like I'm lucky to live the life the way I do, even with all the sacrifices, the pleasure and the joy and the emotions you get from this sport are just way over anything I could imagine in life. So it's quite special.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you also get as an F1 driver is a lot of freebies. And we got a question in from Encryption, who said, did you get a lot of AlphaTauri clothes? And I was thinking back to the launch when you basically did a fashion show. So have you got loads of stash now?
Yeah, so I quite like fashion. I always liked clothes. And I must say, we all have different tastes. You know, what I like is probably different than what others like. And you know, it really depends of your taste and personality. But it's always a world that I always got interested in. And also just creativity is always something that I liked even at school when I was younger. And then fashion I follow quite a bit. And when AlphaTauri came on board, I was really excited with that new adventure. Beginning of the year, they took us to their main store in Salzburg with Danny, and they were like, you guys can like take a couple of pieces, two pieces or three if you want. And we came out of the shop with Daniel, we stole half of the shop. So we had like 8 bikes each of us. And it was actually, we struggled to fit everything in the plane. We had to take like almost 2 extra luggages. But that's pretty cool. And what's cool with AlphaTauri, they are really bringing a new kind of energy and new philosophy into fashion. With all the features they have in their pieces, which is something quite cool. And we got to see how they make the products, all the process behind it. And Marcel was quite new for me, and I learned a lot from it. So it was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, that is cool. There's a lot of questions about your love of fashion, actually, and another lot of them about your facial hair. There's some people want to know, why do you shave your mustache and not your beard?
If I will leave it for probably 2 years, maybe you could see something. But the problem is that I don't know, I have like three hairs fighting together on my mustache, so it doesn't look like that great. So I'd rather shave it. And I did try to give it a go like a few months ago, and I just don't like it, so I just shave it. And this I kept it I think since Bahrain. So when I got my P4 with the team, was probably the one of the first time I kind of grew a beard. And and then I was like, oh, it worked out pretty well. And since that day, I'm just gonna keep it for now. And then after, I just got bored a bit of shaving every day, and I said, okay, like I just may just keep it for a few days and a few weeks, and then I just used to it. But the mustache, I think I need to wait a few years before I can start leaving it.
Yeah, but beard to the way to go, but I managed to link mine up at the moment, but it did used to look rubbish. It took me a while to work on that.
I wish I can get this in a few years.
you'll get there. I'm over 30 now, just so that's how much longer you've got to wait. Now I'm treating Pierre exactly the same as anyone else on this podcast, and he has no idea what the questions are, which is why one of them is about his mustache. But the next one you might have seen coming a little bit is from P. Catalunya, who says, do you think Netflix covered your time at Red Bull fairly or unfairly in the latest documentary?
Did you say this was going to be an interview with a beer, with a little drink?
Well, hopefully if you'd had enough beer, you'd be honest with this answer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Probably with few more beers, I will speak a lot more. But no, I think... You know, of course the series is not about me, it's about F1 and the F1 circus in general. And I think what they did in showing personalities a bit more like deeper inside each driver, in the way they behave, in their like personalities, is something which is good, because of course we see us only with the helmet on in the car. 10 minutes after we get out of the car with the emotions and you can't really see you can't really understand the real personality of each guy. So I think on that aspect they are doing a really good job. The whole series, I watched it, and I must say it feels quite strange to see yourself in a series, because usually I'm watching, you know, like Casa del Papel and Ozark and all the things, and now you see like F1 series, and then you see like one of the characters, which kind of feels strange at the beginning. But I think what they did is really good as a like overall series and over the 10 episodes. I must say it's not like I agree with everything that has been said, and you always wish that there could be more stuff said about my time, but every driver will like their own time in the series, you know. And I think I've got already like really well treated in that aspect. Obviously the period over the first 6 months of my season, you know, there are a lot more you could say about it and a lot more informations that should be given to make it a fair conclusion. But as I said, the season is this, the Netflix series is not about myself, and that's why, you know, of course they need to show a few parts, few informations, and also to make it a series. So I think overall the way it ended shows quite a lot of things, and I'm happy with that. And of course there are other things I've said in the series that unfortunately didn't feature in it, but I think it's part, you know, it's part of it overall. I'm really happy I've got like that much time in the season, and I just need to make sure the season 3 is even better than the season 2. I would say that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's good thinking. There's one good follow-up question to that, and then we'll finish on something nice and positive, because I know you've got other stuff to do as well. Someone called Bufadine43, I think that's how you say it, wants to know basically if you look at social media much, because around the time you were having difficulties at Red Bull, you know, people are quite critical, and then later in the season people are talking about you're the best driver in the world because you finished on the podium in a what was a Toro Rosso. And is it hard to ignore? Do you read it, and does it affect you?
Well, in 2019 2020, I mean, our like generation, everybody's on social media. So I mean, except Seb, who is the only one and the only exception.
Still don't believe
we are all pushing. Yeah, we are still pushing him to get on Instagram, because you know, it's not normal these days not to be on social media. But no, obviously, you know, you see what's happening, you see what's what people are saying, and yeah, of course. I think in my life, since I'm young, I always managed to, you know, since I'm really little, people telling you, you know, it's impossible, you're gonna make it to F1. Only 20 drivers are in Formula One. Why are you like even trying? Blah, blah, all these things. And I've always managed to transform this kind of negative thoughts and negative energy into something positive inside me, to like trigger even more energy, even stronger like motivation and will, and always came out stronger from all this negative energy that people were trying to send me. So obviously I saw a couple of things, something I tried to focus on, and yeah, I've always used to live with that thing. You know, when you are exposed, when you're a top athlete, especially at the top level of a sport, whether it's in Formula One or football or basketball, you're always judged for everything you do. People kind of easily forget what you have done in the past and why you are here. You always judge for the last performance. And I feel a bit like what's difficult in Formula One is most of the time, you know, driver gets judged for their performance, where it's a team sport. You know, it's not, you can put the best driver in another car. You know, Lewis in a different car, in a midfield car, will not be world champion, for example. And it doesn't change the talent he's got. So I just feel like, yeah, people easily judged without having all the information. And, you know, as a professional athlete and professional driver, I can't speak their stuff. That needs to stay confidential. And that's why when people judge without having all the information, sometimes they're wrong, but that's their opinion, and I accept it. On my side, I know what I got to do, and I always try to step up my game, look at the areas I can improve. And then that's the only thing I tried to do when I was in Red Bull, and I didn't change my approach when I was in Toro Rosso. And there are different reasons which explain why it worked there, and we had a good end of the year. And some of the reason has been saved, some others hasn't. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, people have their own judgments, and I accepted it.
And I'm guessing there are reasons you can't talk about.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm a Red Bull contracted driver, and it's also thanks to them they brought me in Formula One. And you know, it's what happened in the 6 months doesn't change the relation and the stuff they've done for me. I think there were problems, there were struggles, there were things that could have been fixed, and if we had to do the story again, a lot of things will be different. But then, yeah, at the same time, you know, I'm still contracted with them. We've spoken about the things that didn't go well. But then, yeah, it's not up to me to come in the media, you know, and tell, okay, this wasn't right and this was wrong, and all these things. I think is not the right thing to do. And that's why I don't do it. Then after, of course, need to deal with the negative source and negative energy sometimes, but there are a lot of people that are bringing also positive energy, positive vibes, and that's the people I'm focusing on, and that are supporting it.
Well, then we're going to rattle through some positive questions that came in as well before I let you go. First one, obviously a lot of them are about Brazil. Coromo asks, what went through your mind when you overtook Albon and Hamilton? So when you saw that kickoff in front of you, what went through your head?
Okay, now I need to hold that second place. So that's basically, I realized, okay, when we were like, there was the last safety car. Yeah, basically I was third, and I realized, okay, the race may stop under safety car. And then after, okay, it went green again. And I knew Lewis had the new tires behind me. And he will go like crazy to try to win this race because he already had the championship. Then I was forced and I kind of thought, okay, it's going to be same thing as Bahrain. A good race, but then no, like I want more. So I really hope that Lewis and Alex will fight and lose time so I could maybe get an opportunity. And in the end, that's what happened. And you know, all the race, we were the leading the midfields, not too far from the top cars. And that's always what I saw with Toro Rosso. You need to put yourself in a position that if something happens, I want to make sure I make the best out of all the opportunities we get. And yeah, I just thought, okay, now I'm second. Okay, Lewis is behind. I didn't really know how his car was, but I just thought, okay, I just want to keep that second place because even third place, I would have been pissed. I know myself, I'm so competitive. I know if we would have overtaken me on the line, I would have been pissed off and I would have not been able to enjoy. Yeah, I just tried to close all the doors and try to make sure he doesn't try anything. And yeah, we managed to make it till the line.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that must have been a great feeling. But then I guess it means you want more. So Adam Mitchell asks, where would you like your next podium to be?
Well, obviously your home race is something special. So, you know, if I could get it anywhere, that's something I'll take, you know, especially with the Toro Rosso. It's Alfa Scuderia, Alfa Tauri. Yeah, I'll take it anywhere. But obviously, home race, home Grand Prix, you get a bit more support, you get more fans, spectators, and there's a special atmosphere and special energy. So I would say France, Monaco, or even Suzuka, because I have so many memories from there in Japan, from my Super Formula season, and a lot of my fans are also based there. So it will be quite a special place to get another podium there.
And Honda, well, hey. Right, very quickly then. Noir Pochette says, do you watch other sports? Obviously not now because we're in lockdown, but do you normally watch other sports away from motorsport? And do you have any favorite teams?
Yeah, so I'm a really like sport lover. So I follow quite a lot. So obviously I'm quite obsessed with football. So yeah, I follow Champions League. I follow Liga in France, Serie A, Premier League, Liga as well, and kind of all the big games. I really like it. I played football when I was younger, and I still play a bit with my friends. I follow tennis. I quite like tennis, NBA, and currently watching the series on Michael Jordan, which I find amazing.
Yeah,
The Last Dance. So, I'm waiting like for the next episode to come out because I really. Really find it amazing. NBA, I follow a little bit golf. I play more than I follow, but I do like to watch it. And MotoGP and all sort of motorsport. MotoGP, I just love what watching the races. So many things happen and quite equal bikes between everybody. So it's always quite tight. I mean, at the front, not the, like four or five different bikes can fight for the top positions. And then, yeah, IndyCar, Formula E, all sort of, motorsport.
Well, just to finish on those things then, would you try other motorsport in the future? Do you want to go somewhere like Indy 500 or do Le Mans, something like that?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I'm a single-seater lover, so, and motorsport lover. So, I see myself... Maybe not now when the time is going to be right, but 24 hours of Le Mans is clearly something I want to do. And actually, I would not mind doing it during F1 season, but at the moment it's always clashing with the season. But it's clearly something that I spent 4 or 5 years of my life in Le Mans, studying there until I was 18. So I was on the track like so many days. I was living literally 200 meters from the track. So. Will be pretty cool to do it. Indy 500 is clearly something I want to do as well. I like to discover and experience new things. And I wouldn't mind to try different cars and just compete. I'm in love with competition, and yeah, doing it the right way, preparing myself the right way to do it for the win and fight against the best drivers in different series is clearly something that excites me. So yeah, in the next few years, yeah, something that could be possible.
Yeah, do you think Red Bull would let you? Do you ask them, can I do this, do that?
Hopefully. We didn't talk about it yet, but yeah, hopefully they'll be fine with that.
And then you just mentioned driving against the best drivers. In your opinion, in any series, this is a question from Car Stuff account, which driver do you think is the best worldwide? Doesn't have to be a Formula One driver.
You need to be alive, right?
Yeah. Now.
Now, I think it's something which is like quite difficult to say, because obviously I don't know all of them. I know the guys I raced against and how I rate them, and there are many guys I rate really high, from like the younger series people I've raced against. And yeah, you know, you have different categories. Rally, for example, is something really different. And if you put F1 driver in a rally car, will struggle against the best one, and then the other way around as well will not be easy. So I think it's difficult to say, okay, that guy is better than anyone else. I see Lewis at the moment as clearly the best package and the best driver, and I think there, you know, of course he's probably in the best car right now and he's been in the last few years, but to stay at this level for so many years clearly shows the talent and the experience, and just I clearly see him as the best driver now. I think Sébastien Ogier and Sébastien Loeb, same. Okay, I'm French, people are gonna say I'm a bit biased maybe, but I rate him. I had the chance to have like a little ride with Ogier last year during the French Grand Prix, and I was shocked with the like car control these guys have with a WRC car. So yeah, I rate these guys really high. At the same time, you know, if you put them in a Formula One car, I think they'll be over like a second off, because it's a different category. So I will not say, I don't think you can say there is one clearly that is better than everybody else. If I will need to say one right now, I will say Lewis, and will be quite an obvious choice.
I was expecting you to say Pierre Gasly, but never mind.
Give me a few more years in Formula One. Once I'll have a bit more experience, then you can ask me the question again.
Once you can grow
the mustache. I don't have any world championship. Once I have the mustache, maybe we talk again.
Yeah. I should let you go. What does the rest of lockdown look like for you then? You say you're going to be training still in Dubai. Is anything else on the cards?
I'll probably go back to Europe in the next 2 weeks. Just try to see my family and see how everybody is doing. But now, yeah, it's training every day. I think in the last, it's been over a month we've been in Dubai. And over the last 35 days, we trained like 32, 33 days. So really like taking it as a like training camp. I'm really feeling better and stronger. So pretty happy with it. And still the plan for the next 2 weeks, training every day, and then after trying to stay entertained, so bit of Netflix, bit of gaming on Call of Duty, and then waiting to get back home to get to F1 games, and then I'm actually like studying Italian, taking Italian lessons to learn and improve a bit my Italian, and also working on my boat license, so I can pass it once the lockdown is over. So I have a few things ongoing.
Okay, the next time we do this, then we'll do it in Italian on your boat. Easy.
Perfect. We do this.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, thank you very much for your time. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks. Thanks to you.
And thank you to anyone and everyone who is still listening. I hope you all enjoyed that too. Check out the previous episodes of the podcast with some great characters and friends from within the paddock. And there are some more big names who have said they're up for coming on the show in the near future. So that would be cool too. Hopefully we can pull that one off. But either way, I'm planning on a particularly spicy episode next week. So you'll all hear from me again soon.